We've been going through Acts, and we are our statement this year, our theme is we are a church on a mission. Now, I want to tell you that there are many churches that have many different missions statements, or different missions that they work at. But we want our mission to be God's mission. Very simple, isn't it? But how do we get so far off track? Our church, our mission ought to be God's mission. And so this morning, as we are looking at the church, we're looking at God setting up the local church in Acts and the first church. How exciting it is to see thousands of people saved and baptized. That's exciting. But as we see that, we also see Satan trying to work as well. We also see people not wanting the church to come alive. We also see people coming after and attacking the church. By the way, when God's work is done, Satan is going to attack. You can count on that. The world is going to attack. You can count on that. But we still need to be at our Father's business. And in Acts chapter 9, we're going to read one verse. I want to bring you up to speed. Saul is now saved. Amen? We talk about thousands of people saved. But what God did in one person's life and the transition in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul yet breathing out threatenings. That was bad Saul. And God changed his life. And look at verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. What a change. What a change. Boy, I'd like to see that kind of change in the lost people of Asheville. I'd like to have a burden for that kind of change. That kind of change. God didn't stop just saving Saul. God wanted to do something great in Saul's life. We ought to attempt great things for God. We ought to expect great things from God. William Carey. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. We come down as Saul has now been preaching. He has spent time with the disciples and became a disciple himself. That's what we are, aren't we? We're disciples. How many of you are disciples? Amen. We ought to be a disciple, but we also ought to be discipling. And so Saul became a disciple, and he started preaching the word of God. People didn't like that. Now, can you imagine the change in his life and the effect that had on his circle? How many of you have a circle? Yeah, you have a circle of friends. You have people that you rely on, people that you call. I'm talking closer than your Facebook friends, right? People that you check in on, people that you serve with, family members, church family members, loved ones. Saul had that before he trusted Christ. He had people that he loved, friends that he loved, friends that he served with. And when the transition came, he left that circle. And now he's in a different circle. But he's where God wants him to be. We come down to Acts chapter 9 in verse number 31. After Saul's been saved and he's been discipled and he's been preaching the gospel, souls have been saved, people have attacked him and wanted to kill him. Now listen to this, not just ask him to be quiet, not serve him with a subpoena. No. They wanted to kill him. They wanted to end his life. This is serious stuff. And he was faithful to God. And look what happened in verse 31. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified. That word edified, built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, say this with me, two words, were multiplied. Temple Baptist Church, this morning, I want to plead with you, encourage you to be committed to multiplication. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this time. We can look in your word. Thank you for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I am so unworthy, but do what I cannot do. Lord, speak through me to the hearts. Lord, I pray that right now we'll just say yes to what you have for us this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Saul was converted, and we know that he was a great preacher, and God used him in a great way. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Paul writes of this time when he was saved and separated unto the work of God. In verse 16 of Galatians chapter 1, to reveal his son in me. To reveal his son in me. You know, what's he saying? He's going to be a witness. He's going to be a soul winner. He's going to preach Christ. He's going to show people Jesus Christ. That I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. What does that mean? He didn't go talk to his parents. He didn't go talk to the people that was in his circle and say, hey, what do you think? I'm going to go be a preacher. What did he do? God sent him. He went. God said, go. There was no question. You know that I believe in prayer. I believe that we ought to be praying Christians. Amen. I believe in the power of prayer. But there are some things we don't have to pray about. God tells us to go. We don't have to pray about going. God tells us to preach the gospel. We don't have to pray about preaching the gospel. We know to do that. And Saul didn't go. The flesh and blood. Saul didn't go ask his friends and family what he should do. God told him what to do. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. But other apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. And so he writes about this time when he accepted Christ as his Savior, and God began to use him in a great way. And he was committed to the multiplication. We see in verse 31 of Acts chapter 9 that churches were multiplied. Churches were multiplied. So my question is, what are we doing here? There are churches that are caught up in subtraction. In fact, someone said that 47 churches close in America every week. 47 churches close every week in America. There are churches that are called up in subtraction. There are churches that are called up in division. There are churches that their whole goal, the people in their church's whole goal, is they enjoy coming to church to fight. That's not what God called us to do. There are churches, now listen to this, there are churches that are caught up in addition. We said, Pastor Creed, addition's good. I like addition. In fact, I enjoyed math until they put letters in it. My favorite math was addition. Mr. Buck, are we allowing calculators in the school now, or do they have to do it in their head? Ninth grade, man, I wish we could have calculators when I was a kid. We didn't have, Brother Buck, they had those little beans things, where you, right? Addition. Some churches are caught up in addition. What does that mean? Pastor, the pastor will do it. The certain people can go out and so on. And then once they're saved, then that's it. There's no discipleship. There's no bringing that person to becoming a soul winner and then reaching somebody else and that person becoming a soul winner. We need to be committed to the full Great Commission. And when we're committed to the full Great Commission, it brings us to be committed to multiplication. God's plan. God's plan. Turn to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, it speaks about something I like, something that's dear to my heart, something I care about deeply. Lunch. And Jesus is preaching to a multitude, and the people are getting hungry physically. Let's look in verse number 1. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them which were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. God will do over and above. We ask or think. Amen. How many of you ever gone out to eat before? How many men, you gone out to eat and your wife at the end have to ask for something, right? What do they ask for? A to-go box. They need to-go box. There's 12 to-go boxes. Not just to-go boxes. They were baskets. But what are they among so many? What did God do? God multiplied it. God multiplied it. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets. Verse 14, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. I want you to notice in that portion of Scripture, verse 6, as Jesus is dealing with Philip and speaking to the disciples, he said these words. He said to prove him. To prove him. Now we don't have to pray about going out. But are you praying about the lost? Are you praying about the opportunity? Are you praying for the courage? God says to prove me. Prove me. I believe that we ought to be committed to pray for multiplication. I believe we ought to be praying for multiplication. What are you praying for this church? Oh, Pastor Creed, I'm praying that the bills be paid. Amen. Thank you for praying for that. Well, Pastor Creed, I'm praying that we get along. Amen. That's needful. Pastor Creed, I'm praying that we have a new pastor, and I'm praying that, boy, he stands strong on the truth, and by the way, I am, by the grace of God. And we don't move off the Word of God. Keep praying. But we ought to be praying diligently for multiplication of this church. Not just souls saved, but souls that are saved and that are discipled to go and reach others. Saul was not left on the road to Damascus. He was not left on that road, was he? God didn't see him saved and then leave him there. God had a plan for his life. And we see the church begins to multiply. A visiting farmer stopped in a city restaurant to eat lunch, and when he was served, he bowed his head, he closed his eyes, and he prayed for the food. Over in a corner table, there was these young people that looked over and began to jeer and laugh at this old farmer. And they got enough courage to look at him and make fun of him and shout, "Hey, farmer! Is that what everybody does where you come from?" The farmer looked up and he said, "No, the hogs don't pray." Who's praying for multiplication? Who's committed to pray for this church? It is said that we are involved in missions and soul winning at this church, and boy, if we don't pray for multiplication, we're spinning our wheels. If we don't pray for the power of God on this church, we're spinning our wheels. Let me ask you this. Who gives the increase? Huh? Well, Pastor Creed, no. I'm not here to give the increase. I don't want people to come to Temple Baptist Church because of Pastor Creed or because of any of you. God gives the increase. Why aren't we praying to God for multiplication? If we won one person to the Lord and discipled that one person, maybe it takes 6 months to disciple that person, and that person starts telling someone else about Christ. That person in 1 year leads someone else to the Lord, and then that process is starting over again in that person's life. And then after a year, how many do we have? We have how many? We have two. And the next year, the same thing happens. And after 2 years, how many do we have? We have four. And so on and so forth. We reach eight, and eight reaches the 16. And 16, after three more years, that's 7 years total, reaches 128 people. After five more years of increase, we reach 4,096 discipled people. But let's go seven more years. And after seven more years of the same thing, 1,048,576 souls are discipled. God's plan works. It works. If we're going to turn this world upside down for Christ, it must be through local New Testament church multiplication. And we ought to be praying for that. I got a number for you. We've been taking the roll. And someone checks out there and sees, is everybody here? They're in their place. They're faithful. And we want to know how many we have here and see where we are. And we've been averaging right around 130, 135. But let's say some of those are children, young children. Let's say 90 or 80. We could do 80. Let's do 80. And 80 people in this church get excited about telling other people about Christ and get committed to multiplication and start praying about God to give them an opportunity every year to reach one person and see them saved and to be able to disciple them to reach somebody else. 80 turns to 160, then to 320, then to 640, then to 1280. Then in the fifth year, 2,560 people. Let me ask you something, Temple Baptist Church. Would we be able to handle over 2,500 people in 5 years? In the 10th year, 10 years of multiplication, reaching 92,000 people. 10 years, 92,000 people. Guess how many people are in Asheville? 91,000 people. Here's what has to happen. We have to be committed to praying for multiplication. We have to be committed to planning for multiplication. Planning, the plan of multiplication. John chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes." And the question is this: we have some food here. We have a lad here. We have 5,000 hungry men here. That's a task. But what are they among so many? What a negative question that was. And we look back and we say, boy, what an awful question that is. Doesn't he know that God is in flesh is standing right next to him? Why would he ask that? We do the same thing. Oh, Pastor Creed, that's great multiplication. And boy, yeah, 92,000 people. But really, how many of those people are going to be soul winners? Really, we're just a small church right here in west side of Asheville. And have you seen the weird people in Asheville? Yes, I'm looking at them. I'm just joking. Don't get offended. I've been out there door knocking and nobody wants to come to the Lord, nobody. And we just get negative and down and down and down. But we have something that nobody else has. The church has the power of God. The church has the plan of God, the word of God. We're not doing this on our own. Without God at that meeting, that lunch would have fed a lad. But with God there, it fed 5,000. Now we have the bread of life. And we have 91,000 people in Asheville to give this bread of life to. Are you committed to multiplication? Well, Pastor Creed, I'm committed to somebody else doing it. If you're saved, God's called you. I love verse 11. And Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took the loaves. That's what I just said. Without Jesus, it just would have been a small lunch. You know, I went out looking for book bags with my children. What an adventure that is. How many of you fellas know when you go to get something in the store, you're in, you see what you want, and you get out? All right? I don't want to have to fight for a parking spot. I don't have to wait in line. I'm going in. I'm looking for express lane, and I'm getting out of here. Right? How many of you ladies are just not like that? right? We got to know what the book bag's made of. We got to know if it's a lifetime warranty. Does it come with a lunchbox? Does it come with what brand is it? Was it made in America? Where was it made? What color? Does it match her outfits for school? I mean, there's all kinds of questions to get answered when you're searching for a book bag. And so we're going looking for book bags, and there's these book bags, and you can see one of these book bags, they come with lunch boxes. Isn't that cool? All right? My lunchbox was a Walmart bag. Huh? I had a Walmart bag, and that was my lunchbox. I never lost it. You say, how so? There was always another Walmart bag at Walmart. It was cheap, too. It was the best lunchbox. But some of these that come with these bags, they're just too small. I mean, we were shopping, and my five-year-old looked up at Colton. I want this one. Hudson looked up. I want this one. And my daughter, she wanted the sparkly one. Now, my sons, they wanted the ones with the book bag with the lunchbox, but the lunchbox did not come with my daughter's, so we had to go and look for another lunchbox for my daughter, which is fine. All right? God has already given me patience at that time. Praise the Lord. So we started looking for lunchboxes. And she made her daddy proud. She didn't get the prettiest lunchbox. You know what she got? She got the biggest. She wanted a big lunchbox. Now, it was a different reason. She wanted to bring some food to share with people. I wanted to bring some food for me. But she got the biggest lunchbox. Can you imagine this lad bringing his lunchbox in? And the disciple looking down and said, that's just not big enough. That's not good enough. Jesus, look. And Jesus said, give it to me. Give it to me. Watch this. Pastor Creed, I just don't know about that person. I don't know if God's ever going to use them. Pastor Creed, I just don't know if God could ever do in their life what he's done in this person's life, and I don't think they'll ever be used of God. Wait a minute. And Jesus says, give their life to me. I'll multiply it. Pastor Creed, I can't talk like you, Pastor Creed. I had problems with stuttering. My sister used to make fun of me. She bullied me. I'm a victim. I used to stutter. You know the worst class? Tied for fifth was speech. Y'all didn't get that, did you? They were all my worst class. Speech, I didn't like speech. Little I know, I was going to be up giving three speeches a week. I didn't know how God was going to use me. But those are just bread and fishes. We don't give the glory to the bread and fish, do we? The glory was to God and God's plan for them. God had a plan for that bread. God had a plan for that fish. By the way, God knew it was there before the lad even prepared his lunch. And God has a plan for you. Are you committed to God's plan for your life? Are you committed to God's plan for your life? Oh, I'm planning on it. What do we plan on? How many of you have a planner? Yeah. How many of you, your planner is digital? All right, we got a couple. Brother Buck, really? Okay, wow. How many of you, you're old-fashioned, it's paper and pen, right? Yeah, look at those hands. Look at all those hands. I like that. Paper and pen. What's on your planner? Is it God's plan? Your plan? We need to be committed to the plan for multiplication. I want to ask you this question. Can God? Can God create the universe out of nothing? Yes. Can God reach Asheville? Can God part the Red Sea and allow his people to walk on dry land? Yes. Can God reach Asheville? Can God send fire on the altar and consume the waterlogged altar of Elijah? Absolutely he can. Can God reach Asheville? Yeah. Can God use a shepherd boy to defeat a giant warrior? Yes. Can God reach Asheville? Can God shut a bunch of lions' mouths, send a fish to swallow a man and spit him up again, keep three children safe in a fiery furnace, heal the blind, lame, and sick, and raise the dead? Yes, he can do all these things. And God can and will reach Asheville. Are you committed to that? I'm planning on it. God says, prove him. Prove him. We need to be committed to his plan, but we also need to be committed to preach for multiplication. How do you preach for multiplication? Stay with the gospel. Stay with the gospel. It's amazing. The Bible tells us that his word will not return unto him what? It's amazing when you go soul winning and you use the word of God. The Jacksons, you know about this. You stand at the fair. It gets scary out there, doesn't it, sometimes? But what you have is the bread of life. What you have is the gospel. And when we commit to the multiplication, we're committing to the gospel. Don't expect or desire any glory. Don't expect or desire any glory. The glory is not yours to take. It's God's. Romans chapter 4, verse 20 says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Talking about Abraham, giving glory to God. Strong in faith, giving glory to God. It's God's glory. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Also to perform. Be consistent. One week we feel confident about soul winning. The next week we just don't want to do it. Be faithful. Be faithful. How many of you, God saved your life? How many of you, God, you know you're going to heaven when you die. Amen? Someone was faithful in telling you. And someone is waiting for you to be faithful in telling them. But are you committed? I'm not a preacher, Pastor Creed. That word preach in the Word of God, proclaiming the gospel. Every child of God, no matter your race or gender, ought to be preaching, proclaiming the Word of God to others. Personal evangelism. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to turn there and we'll be finished. Matthew chapter 28. Be consistent everywhere to everybody. Everywhere to everybody. Scully, it's good to see you. I'm so glad Drew was consistent and faithful in telling you about the gospel, aren't you? Amen? Scully's just recently saved. Thank God for that. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, listen to this, all power is given unto me. Who has the power? Jesus. Jesus has the power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive what? Where do we get that? Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. All power is going to be in heaven. And then what he says, with that power, the last thing he says on this earth, we ought to listen to his last words. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And I like this part. When it comes to soul winning, when it comes to being a witness, when it comes to obeying God, here's what he says. He follows up with this. And lo, I am with you always. When you're out climbing those hills to knock on those doors, Miss Raquel, we've gone up some very steep driveways, haven't we? God is with us. When you go to knock on a door and someone slams that door in your face, I don't want what you have. God is with you. When you're talking to your coworkers, God is with you. When you're a witness and you're giving the gospel to others, God is with you. Are you committed to multiplication? Temple Baptist Church, we as a whole, need to be committed to multiplication.